ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாஸம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயே. நஷ்டப்ராயேஷு பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா. பகவதீருத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டகீ.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 48. Tvam Vayuhu Avanihi Viyat Ambu Matraha Prana இந்திரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சித் அனுக்ரஹ ச சர்வம் த்வம் ஏவ சகுணஹ விகுணஹ ச பூமன் ந அன்யத் த்வத் அஸ்தி அபி மனவசசா நிருக்தம்.
த்வம் வாயுரக்னிரவநீர்வியுதம்பு மாத்ரா. த்வம் வாயுரக்னி அவநீர்வியுதம்பு மாத்ரா. ப்ராணேந்த்ரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சிதனுக்ரஹஶ்ச ப்ராணேந்த்ரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சிதனுக்ரஹஶ்ச சர்வம் த்வமேவ சகுணோ விகுணஶ்ச பூமன் சர்வம் த்வமேவ சகுணோ விகுணஶ்ச பூமன் நான்யத் த்வதஸ்தி அபி மனோ வசசா நிருக்தம். நான்யத் த்வதஸ்தி அபி மனோ வசசா நிருக்தம். தம் வாயுரக்னி அவநீர்வியுதம்பு மாத்ரா. ப்ராணேந்த்ரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சிதனுக்ரஹஶ்ச சர்வம் த்வமேவ சகுணோ விகுணஶ்ச பூமன் நான்யத் த்வதஸ்தி அபி மனோ வசசா நிருக்தம். தம் வாயுரக்னி அவநீர்வியுதம்பு மாத்ரா. ப்ராணேந்த்ரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சிதனுக்ரஹஶ்ச சர்வம் த்வமேவ சகுணோ விகுணஶ்ச பூமன் நான்யத் த்வதஸ்தி அபி மனோ வசசா நிருக்தம். தம்பாயுரக்னி அவநீர்வியுதம்பு மாத்ரா. ப்ராணேந்த்ரியாணி ஹ்ருதயம் சிதனுக்ரஹஶ்ச சர்வம் த்வமேவ சகுணோ விகுணஶ்ச பூமன் நான்யஸ்பதஸ்தி அபி மனோவசசா நிருக்தம். பிராணேந்திரியாணிச்சூமன்
மாதாஜிஸ். வாட் வர்ட் மீனிங்? தம் யுவார் வாயு, ஏர் அக்னி, ஃபயர் அபினஹ, எர்த் வியர்த் ஸ்கை, அம்பு வாட்டர், மாத்ராஹ த சென்ஸ் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ், பிராணஹ த லைஃப் ஏர், இந்திரியாணி த சென்சஸ், ஹிருதயம் த மைண்ட், சித் கான்சியஸ்னஸ், அனுக்ரஹச்ச அண்ட் ஃபால்ஸ் ஈகோ ஆர் த டெமிகாட்ஸ், சர்வம் எவ்ரிதிங் ஃப்ரம் யூ ஏவ only sagunaha material nature with its three modes, vigunaha the spiritual spark and the super soul which are beyond material nature, cha and bhuman. Oh my great lord, na not அந்யத் அதர் த்வத் தன் யூ, அஸ்தி இஸ் அபி அல்தோ, மனஹ வச்சசா பை மைண்ட் அண்ட் வேர்ட்ஸ், நிருக்தம் எவ்ரிதிங் மேனிஃபெஸ்டட். டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன் அண்ட் பர்பட் பை டிவைன் கிரேஸ் ஏ சி பக்திவேதானந்த சுவாமி பிரபுபாத். Translation. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross, the material elements and anything expressed either by words or by the mind are nothing but you. Please repeat responsively. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness and the false ego. Indeed, You are everything, subtle and gross, the material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you, purport by His divine grace. This is the all pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how He spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without Him. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta mutina mastani sarva bhutani nachaham te savastitah. I exist everywhere and everything exists in me, yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishtami narata yatra gayanti madbhaktaha. The Supreme Lord stays only where His devotees chant His glories. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnanam Janasalakaya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vancha Kalpatarabhyasya Kripa Sindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastaccha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this sloka, Prahlad Maharaj continues glorifying Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narasimhadev. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing the all pervasive nature of the Supreme Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, in his conversation with Hiranyakashipu, mentioned that the Supreme Lord is everywhere, sarva vyapi. Vedic mantra says, sarva vyapi sarva bhutanantar atmanah. The Supreme Lord is pervading everything. There is nothing that is left to be pervaded or occupied by somebody. Everything. So Hiranyakashipu questioned him, if He is all pervasive, why is He not present before me? You say He is all pervasive. I don't see it actually. You see, I don't see it. This all pervasive means not only the material objects, pillars and palaces and whatever it is, it also includes all the living entities, the bodies. Each one of us, we have a body with a very complex system. So He is pervading every atomic particle of this body also. Not only that, sarva vyapi is not only pervading, sarva bhutantar atma is situated in every living entity also. Sarva bhuta antar atma is also, atma is there, right next to atma, He is situated as paramatma. Sarva bhuta antar atma. So Hiranyakashipu actually thought he is very intelligent,
He is very expert in controlling the senses. He thought that what you are talking about controlling the senses? You are going to talk to me. I control the senses. I did such a tapasya nobody ever had done. So much so that the entire universe was disturbed. And Brahma has to come and give him some benediction. He didn't get what he wanted, but at least something he got. Something is better than nothing. So he said, I am so expert in controlling the senses, and you are talking about controlling the senses? And you are saying everywhere, where is he? He failed to understand that he is pervading his body also. It's not except Hiranyakashipu's body. So every atom in the Hiranyakashipu's body also is pervaded by Lord Narasimhadev. Not only that, he is also situated within the heart of Hiranyakashipu. So he was so expert in controlling the senses, but he couldn't go within himself. The whole process of meditation. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshmanuman ki, Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. He wanted to find out where is Vishnu so that he can fight with him, but he didn't know where to find. Actually, the Supreme Lord was seated within his heart also. So if he wanted, he could have found the Lord within himself, but he didn't do it. He was just going outside, not going inside. The process of meditation, the process of control of senses, the process of yoga is to go within deep and deep and deep and experience your own spiritual existence, Atma and Paramatma. He didn't do that. He was only controlling the senses so that he can disturb the universe. So that he can get his benediction, what he wanted. So, the Lord, fulfilling the words of Prahlada Maharaj, he manifested himself from the pillar because Hiranyakashipu challenged him. If he is everywhere, why can't he manifest from this pillar? And he gave a punch to the pillar to find that he is there actually. He was trying before, he couldn't find. Now because Prahlada Maharaj said he is there, and Narasimhadev said, yes, I will come from here. To prove the all-pervasive nature, the Lord came from the pillar. So in this verse, Prahlada Maharaj is glorifying that characteristic of the Supreme Lord's all-pervasive nature. Here, Prahlada Maharaj says, you are Vayu, you are Agni, you are Earth, you are Water. So this actually leads to all the material elements, which leads to Sankhya philosophy. Pavan Putra Prabhu is not here? Oh, he is there. He wanted Sankhya to be discussed. The Supreme Lord is making Sankhya to come on its own Bhagavatam itself. So the five gross elements, earth, water, air, fire and ether. So the Lord is pervading that also. Of course, in this particular sloka, Prahlada Maharaj is not talking about all the 24 elements. The gross elements. So the corresponding to the gross element, there are subtle elements. Five gross elements, then there are corresponding five subtle elements. And this subtle elements are also called tanmatras. Tanmatras. The ether, in the ether, there is one subtle element which is sound. Ether means actually akash, space. Space accommodates everything. Within the space only can exist, space. So sound travels from one point to another point, that is space, characteristic. Sound is the specific tanmatra for ether. Then in air, which is little grosser than ether, little grosser, little. So the quality of ether is there, sound is there in air. When the air blows, you get the sound. Plus there is also touch, another tanmatra, sensation of touch. You feel good. You want to put the fan on so that you don't feel uncomfortable. Feel good. Touch sensation. Then the next element, grosser than that, is fire. in which both these characteristics are there plus vision, sight. You can see fire. Air you cannot see. Fire you can see. The grosser than that, next is water. You can have all these three characteristics plus taste. Taste is a specific characteristic of water. Rasoham vapsu kaunteya, rasa, taste in water. And the grossest of all elements is earth, the solid state of existence, in which all these four characteristics is there, plus smell is specific characteristic of earth. These five subtle elements, five gross elements. Then corresponding to these five subtle elements and gross elements, there are sense organs, the sense organ which actually we possess to acquire knowledge. These are called jnanendriyas, knowledge acquiring senses. Corresponding to sound is ears, corresponding to touch is the skin, corresponding to the sight is the eyes, corresponding to taste is the tongue, tongue can taste, and corresponding to smell is the nose. You smell that object. 5 plus 5 plus 5, 15 elements, karmendriyas. Then there are 5, these are 5 jnanendriyas, there are 5 karmendriyas, working senses. Karma is to work. Hands to go and pick up things so that you can get your desired activity done. Legs to go to the place. Mouth to eat, get some strength. Genitals and anus. 5 karmendriyas. 5 plus 15 is 20. These are all out. And then there is antakarana, the internal senses, subtle body. Antakarana means inside senses. Mind, intelligence, false ego and contaminated consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about 5 gross elements, 3 subtle elements. This is a very simple Sankhya. Elaborate Sankhya means 24 elements, in which there are 4 elements which are antakarana. Mind, intelligence, false ego and consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj talks about consciousness, false ego, mind also in this particular verse. So 20 plus 4, 24 elements. These are the 24 elements which make this material universe. Nothing beyond that. And these 24 elements, when they are not distinctly manifest, they are called pradana. Pradana. And in the beginning, when the Mahavishnu is exhaling, the bubbles come from his bodily pores. So each bubble is one universe. Within the universe, the sum total of all these 24 elements in the unmanifest, undistinguishable form, it is existing, that is like something like a primordial soup, so to say. In equilibrium it is existing. 3 modes are in equilibrium. All 3 modes are in equilibrium. So Mahavishnu glances at this pradana and disturbs this equilibrium. So when he disturbs the equilibrium, then this unmanifest material nature starts manifesting one after another from subtler to grosser. And this is the process of creation. And as the process starts, the time starts, time factor. Before that time, when it is in equilibrium, there is no time. Nothing, it is in the frozen state. So when the Supreme Lord glances at pradana and he disturbs the equilibrium of 3 modes, and then he starts the time, then actual creation happens. So time is the 25th element, time factor. And all these material elements, when they are manifest distinctly, then it is called prakriti. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva prakriti. That what we see now is the prakriti form. So beyond these 25 elements, the supreme and the soul, we are all there, spirit souls, and the super soul. 24 plus 1, 25, 26, 27 elements. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is acknowledging this fact, how all these elements the Supreme Lord is pervading. So that includes all the gross elements and subtle elements also. He is pervading our mind also. He is pervading our consciousness also. So he is pervading everything. There is nothing left behind. And Prahlad Maharaj goes to say that he is prana. He is a life air. Life air. There is life air. When we are inhaling, air, oxygen. This is prana. But it looks like just one kind of air. No, according to, you know, Vedic philosophy, there are 10 kinds of air within the body. Out of which 5 kind of air is the primary and 5 is secondary. So it is stated that the 5 kinds of air, prana, apana, vyana, samana and udana, these are 5 kinds of air. Apana vayu goes down and udana vayu goes up, two directions. One is going up, one is coming down. Vyana is to shrink and expand, shrinking and expanding. And samana is to adjust the equilibrium. So these 5 airs, they go in, they do different functions. And it is stated that the spirit soul, it is having the dimension of 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. It's a physical dimension actually, but it doesn't have weight, no mass, only size. It's special. It's like weightless. It is stated that this spirit soul is floating in the neutral point of these 5 vectors. The 5 directions is going, you know, 5 vayus, prana vayus, 5 vayus are there. So in the 5 airs, there is an equilibrium point where this spirit soul is floating. It's just floating. And by means of pranayam, control of the breathing, pranayam, one can actually manipulate the neutral point by means of lifting it up to different, you know, chakras. There are so many chakras. It's in the heart. Naturally the soul is floating in the heart, but by means of breathing exercise you can lift it above. You can lift it to the neck, you can lift it to the nose, you can lift it to the forehead, you can lift it to the head. You can even just get out of this body if you want. Yogi, Ashtanga yogi, usually he controls the breathing so that he can, you know, play with the soul. Lifting it above. And if he wants to leave the body, he can just leave the body from the head, the top of the head, and just go to wherever he wants to go, to higher plant system. That is the process of meditation. So the Supreme Lord is pervading this vayu also, prana. Not outside him, it's inside, he is pervading. If he suppose withdraw this power, then you can't function. He has allowed us, he has given us, okay, chalo karo. And we are thinking that we are everything, we can do anything we want. If he withdraws even one energy of this, immediately our body cannot function. If he withdraws some function within the brain, you can become paralyzed also. That part you can't think, left side paralyzed. So, this all pervasive nature is very, very special to Lord Krishna. This all pervasive nature is also related to omniscience, all knowing. We may think something in our mind, but Krishna knows what we are thinking. We don't know what another person is thinking, what to speak of what Krishna is thinking. We can't know. Because Krishna is pervading the mind also, he knows all knower. Once, great scholarly persons, saintly persons, they wanted to find out amongst Trimurtis, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, who is supreme, who is situated in mode of goodness always, who is all-knowing. So they gave this assignment to Brihu Muni. So Brihu, please go and find out. So Brihu decided that the person who is always in the mode of goodness, the person who he should be all-knowing also, what is in everybody's mind he should be known. So he went to, you know, Brahmalok, Satyalok, and he didn't pay respect to Lord Brahma, because Brahma is his father. So you go to father and no, you can't just, that also you come after a long time, somewhere you are in another part of the universe, you are going to his place, and he didn't pay respect. And Brahma in his mind thought, well, this fellow doesn't even know the etiquette. Well, he was angry within his mind, but little bit he controlled it. He was angry. He was not able to overcome the mode of passion. Bhrigu could understand that. He said that he cannot be situated always in the mode of goodness. He cannot be all-knowing. If he knew that I didn't pay respect to him, why did I pay? He should have known my mind. He didn't know my mind. Why I came? My assignment, he doesn't know. So he said, okay. He went to Kailash and Lord Shiva. He welcomed him. Oh, very nice, my dear friend. My brother. His brother. Please come. He was going to embrace him. He said, hey, don't touch me. You're always in Smashan. So he got very angry. Hey, you came to my place. I want to welcome you and I want to embrace you and you are, you know, disrespecting me. He said, I'll kill you now. He wanted to take his trident and kill. Mother Parvati has to pacify him actually. So, Brahu could understand that. Lord Shiva also could not understand the purpose of his visit and he could not overcome his mode of ignorance. Then Brahu went to Vaikuntha and in Svetadeep, the Lord was taking rest. He is always in Yoga Nidra. So he was taking rest. And Brahu went and he waited for some time, more time. He became impatient. Arey, I came to your place and you are not even, you know, the etiquette of, you know, taking care of a guest is that when a guest comes, he should feel homely. Some nice words, a place to sit, something to drink, something to eat, whatever. Nothing. Just he was wondering whether he is really taking rest or he is acting like taking rest. If you act, then you will never get up actually. If you are acting like sleeping, then it is very difficult to wake up a person who is acting like sleeping. So Brahu, actually, with his impatience, he actually kicked it on the chest of Vishnu. So Vishnu woke up and he saw Brahu in an angry mood and he said, oh my dear Brahu, you have come a long way. I am very sorry. No, I failed to, you know, take care of you, respect you. But you are fit after coming long way also, and also you kicked on my chest is so hard and your feet is so soft, let me massage your feet. So, if somebody comes and kicks our hostel door, we are living in hostel, sometimes some people may want to make fun in the wing, koi darwaja mein dhak dhak karke gaya, dekhega. You are not going to say, who is that nice person who kicked on my door? My door is so hard, your feet must be soft, let me massage your feet. Koi hai bolne wala? As long as we are within the modes of material nature, we will be reacting in a very different way. So, Lord Vishnu, it is stated that Brahu wanted to know who is situated on the mode of goodness, but Lord Vishnu exhibited that he is situated in the mode of pure goodness, above goodness, Visuddha Sattva, not just Sattva. Visuddha Sattva. So here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained that Brahu disrespected Brahma in the mind. He didn't say any words. In the mind, he disrespected. To Shiva, he disrespected by verbally. He spoke, he said, no, you are untouchable like that. Verbal abuse. Mental abuse, verbal abuse. Whereas, to Vishnu, he physically abused. He kicked him. So the offenses he made from Brahma to Vishnu is gradually actually stronger. Very light with Brahma, little stronger with Shiva and very strong with Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu acted in such a way that you know, he completely was pacified. You know, then Bhrigu said, this is Supreme Personality, he is all pervasive, he knows what is in my mind. Otherwise it is not possible for anybody to react like that. Same thing, all knowing, omniscient. The quality of omniscience is full in Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is not in the living entities, and it is partially present in Lord Shiva. Omniscience. There are 50 qualities, of the 64 qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 50 qualities a living entity can manifest to some degree, some extent. Not fully, some extent. And 50 to 55, there are 5 qualities above this 50, Lord Shiva manifests to some extent, not fully, but Lord Vishnu manifests all those things fully. So, even Lord Shiva has the quality of omniscience, not fully, but still he could not recognize Bhrigu's intention. Whereas, Lord Vishnu, who is full in omniscience also, he could know why Bhrigu has come, so he acted accordingly. So, in this way, the Lord is all-pervading, and Vedic mantras, especially in Chandogya Upanishad, Svetashvatara Upanishad, he talks about Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Srila Prabhupada quotes this Vedic mantra in the purport, Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. One of the important vakyas, and Shankaracharya, Adi Shankara, uses this as one of the Mahavakyas to establish his Mayavad philosophy. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. This is also Brahma. This is also Brahma. This, I am also Brahma. If everything is Brahman, I am also Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. According to Mayavad, the Brahman, when it mixes with three modes of material nature, according to them, we don't agree with that anyway, according to Shankara, when it mixes with three modes of material nature, it starts producing Prakriti, and which has got qualities, then he calls that as Saguna Brahman, Brahman with qualities. Whereas when the Brahman is not having qualities, it is Nirguna Brahman. Nirguna Brahman is absolute. And it mixes with modes of material nature, Saguna Brahman. What we are seeing is Saguna. Sarva Kalavidam Brahman means Saguna Brahman. We are seeing everywhere Brahman. Saguna Brahman. Brahman with qualities. So, the aim of Mayavadis is to give away these qualities. Give away all these things are no upadis. Give away this. Then, when you are given up that, then you will reach your Brahman stage, Aham Brahmasmi. Then you will know that you are Brahman, spiritual, spirit soul. And that is perfection. We don't agree with that. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, the Supreme Lord is source of everything. Agree. It is His energy. It is this material universe came from the bodily pore of Mahavishnu. You know, the source of this material universe is also Lord Vishnu only. And it is His transformed energy. It is also His energy, but for the material purposes, He transforms it and He gives this pradana, and He agitates that pradana, makes this prakriti possible. Even though all these material elements are there, then He actually controls them. It's not that it goes out of control of Lord Vishnu. He still controls them by means of His all-pervasive nature that is being discussed in this sloka. The Supreme Lord, by His energy, He pervades everything. Because He is pervading everything, He is actually in full control. It's not that we think that we are controlling something. We are secondary controllers. The primary controller is Lord Krishna. So, Lord Krishna very clearly states, Prabhupada quotes the sloka from Bhagavad Gita, Maya tadam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. I am there in everything as in my unmanifested form, avyakta murtina. It's not in the, you know, the murti form, in the form, fully. He is not existing in everything, but He is existing by means of His energy. Avyakta murtina. Mastani sarva bhutani nachaham tesu. I am in everything, but everything is not in me. You can, I am in everything, I know everything, but you cannot know me, actually. So in this way, Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita very clearly establishes that this entire material universe is his energy, and he is the supreme controller. He is still controlling that. Aham sarvasya prabaho mattah sarvam pravartate. Krishna says everything comes from me, Mahavishnu's body, from the bodily pores. The whole universe has come, and the supreme Lord, when he glances at this universe, agitates the pradana, he actually simultaneously injects the spirit souls also. That is also coming from Vishnu. The spirit souls are also coming from Vishnu. The entire all the elements, 24 elements needed for this material, that is also coming from Vishnu. Everything, the source is Lord Vishnu himself. So in this way, the Lord is present everywhere in this universe in his unmanifest form, and Srila Prabhupada says that he is personally present wherever his glories are chanted. Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hrudayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. If suppose somebody, okay, he is pervading everywhere in avyakta murtina, where is he actually? He is in unmanifest form. Where is he manifest? Generally it is stated that Vaikuntha is the place of the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha. The Lord says, no, I am not in Vaikuntha. I am, it's my place, but I am not really there. Then yogis are meditating, and the yogis say that they find Lord, you know, Paramatma, Lord Vishnu within the heart. So maybe he is in the heart of every living entity, yogis. Yoginam hrudayeshuva, I am not there in the yogi's heart also. Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tashtam vinala. Where my glories are chanted, where the pure devotees, they are glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. Where the Lord's glories are chanted, then Krishna says, I am situated there. It is stated that Prabhupada left Vrindavan to go to the west. Then question can be asked, who will leave Vrindavan to go to some other material place? But then the Shastra say that when a pure devotee, wherever he is situated, that becomes Vrindavan, because Krishna is there. When the pure devotee is chanting the holy names of the Lord, he is glorifying, you know, various pastimes of the Lord, wonderful activities of the Lord is present there. So a pure devotee, he is not going to do anything other than being engaged in the service of Krishna. So because the pure devotee is engaged always in service of Krishna, he binds Lord Krishna to his place. And then that place becomes Vaikuntha, Goloka. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by stating how a pure devotee, where the pure devotional service is executed, pure devotional service is executed, Krishna is present personally there. If we want Krishna to be present in our vicinity, we have to become more pure, and we should execute pure devotional service. That is the only way. There is no other way you can capture Krishna. Yogis are trying to capture Krishna not by means of pure devotional service, so it's very difficult for them to capture. The faster they go with their mind, he goes much faster than them. Srinvatam sakata Krishna punya sravana kirtana. When kirtana is engaged, when the glories are chanted, so auspicious, it's purifying all kinds of unwanted things, though personally Krishna is present in such places. So in this way, Lord Narsingadev was glorified in this verse by Prahlad Maharaj, how he is all pervading, all the material elements of this universe. He is pervading, by means of his pervasion he is controlling. And Prabhupada goes one step further to explain, even though he is pervading everywhere, he is actually present personally where pure devotees are there and where pure devotional service is executed. Today is also the auspicious occasion of the Panihati Chira Dahi festival. Wonderful festival by the desire of Lord Nityananda and executed by Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. We will take this opportunity to discuss little about this wonderful festival. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a very rich family of Kayastha to Govardhan Muzumdar, like a Zamindar. They owned a lot of land, very rich family. But he wanted to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya visited Shantipur, so Raghunath Das Goswami went to meet Lord Chaitanya and he wanted to surrender, take shelter at his lotus feet. But Lord Chaitanya said, don't become like a monkey renunciant. Go back to your house. He sent him back. Later also, several times, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to run away from his house. But his father would employ some servants to capture him back and bring him back to his house. He tried many times without success. And he was also later married to a very beautiful woman. And once Raghunath Das mother told her husband that this fellow is running away so many times. So why don't you tie him with a rope? We will tie him with a rope so that he will not run away. It's like a devotee trying to run away and become a new bhakta. Somebody can tie you with not becoming a devotee. How long it will last? Mukunda Padma's parents tried, but they failed. Raghunath Das father said, what are you talking? He is already married, very beautiful. He has got the wealth. Our wealth is like Indra's wealth. Wealthy. And he has got a wife who is like an angel. And if these things are not able to tie, and rope can, what the rope can do actually? This is a very subtle rope. Being attracted and attached to woman and money. Actually, mostly we will see most of the world is working very hard for this. Everyone is. If they get more of this, they think they will be happy. And here Raghunath Das Goswami is setting an example. These two things cannot give happiness. And he said, if these two things are not tying him, nothing can work actually. These are the two strong things. These are the strong, subtle ropes. And these ropes, when it becomes harder and tighter and tighter, the knot cannot be opened actually. Revanti Mahu. It's a hard knot of the heart. If this is not stopping him, who can stop? Kuch kaam ka nahi. Let us. So, once Lord Nityananda was visiting Panihati village, and Raghunath Das Goswami came to know that Lord Nityananda, along with all his close associates, they were visiting Panihati. So, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Panihati, and all the associates of Lord Nityananda were sitting under a banyan tree, and Lord Nityananda was sitting in the center. So many devotees were there. So Raghunath Das Goswami came from a distance. He could see Lord Nityananda, who was like effulgent, like hundreds and thousands of suns. How much effulgent he could have been. So from a distance only you can see some effulgent personality. So Raghunath Das Goswami, from a distance, he paid obeisances, dandavat pranam, and the associates of Lord Nityananda said, see, the Raghunath is paying obeisances, Raghunath is paying obeisances. Lord Nityananda said, Raghunath has come here, he is a thief, bring him here. I want to give him some punishment. So Raghunath Das was thinking, oh, what happened? Lord Nityananda is going to give me some punishment. So, Lord Nityananda said, so why are you hiding and going here and there? I want to give you punishment. Your punishment is that you please arrange Chidadahi festival. You make Chidadahi and feed all of us, feed all the devotees. This is the punishment for you. He said, wow, this is blessings in disguise. Great punishment. I would like such kind of punishment. Raghunath Das Goswami was very happily accepted the punishment, and then he is anyway a rich man. He's got a lot of money. So he called all his assistants, please go to the nearby village and purchase all dahi and know the flat rice, chida, purchase. And they brought large quantity of dahi, milk, and you know, sugar, and bananas to make all these things, big, big pots. It is said that they brought about 200 to 400 big pots. Earthen pots? Earthen pot. You use it and throw it. About 400 earthen pots. So they put in two kinds of preparation they made. One is soaking the flat rice in milk. Another one is soaking the flat rice in dahi. And so they put sweets also. Champa kela, special kind of very sweet kela also they brought, and they soaked first in the dahi separately and milk separately, and put all these ingredients, banana, sugar, sweets, etc., and they made large quantity, and they brought 5 to 7 very big pots, and they offered to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was saying, yes, very nice preparation. And by knowing that this festival is happening, a lot of people came from where they don't know. So many scholars, brahmanas, they all came and they said a very nice festival is going on. And the quantity became less. So they bought more. Again, some shopkeepers, they found out, oh, in Paniyati there is a lot of sales. Chalo, jayega. As the shopkeepers came with the chida, dahi, milk, and then Raghunatha Goswami purchased all of that. And he made chida dahi. And first of all, he purchased from them. Then after making this item, they gave them prasad also. Chalo, le lo. Are, achcha ho gaya. Sale bhi ho gaya, paid bhi bhar gaya. So many people came. Everybody was fed. Everybody was given 2 matkas. In 1 matka, chida dahi. In another matka, chida dhoodh. Condensed milk, you know. Dough item. Everybody got in 2 hands only. Dough. First they were sitting around Lord Nityananda. And then there was no space. See, it's on the banks of Ganges. There is no space, means there are so many people actually. Then somebody couldn't find the space. They were standing in the water of Ganges and holding 2 pots. Like they got 2. They were holding. So, Lord Nityananda, in his meditation, he brought Lord Chaitanya. Not everybody could see Lord Chaitanya. So he brought, and Lord Chaitanya also came and said, oh, very nice festival of Chida Dahi is going on here. And Lord Nityananda got up. People didn't know why he got up. And he took few morsels of Chida Dahi and he was putting in the mouth of Lord Nityananda. Somebody was singing. Huh? Only few could see, very close associate, that Lord Nityananda is there. And he was feeding. And Lord Chaitanya also took few morsels and fed to Lord Nityananda. Like that they both were performing some wonderful pastimes amongst themselves. So in this way, everyone was enjoying this Chida Dahi. Raghav Pandit, one of the close associates of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, came there and he said, what are you doing here? I made a nice preparation and it is all there and you are sitting and enjoying in this open place. What is happening? Lord Nityananda said, you see, I am a coward boy. I like to go to picnic. Not always sit in the house and eat all day. Picnic. Talasari jan. I always like to go along with my friends and we go and eat, in the open space. I like that. Let me eat today here. Evening I will come to your place and I will take supper in your place. Don't worry, Raghav Pandit, I will come there. You also sit here, you also eat. Chalo, pakad, tum bhi pakad do katori. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, who was not visible to most of them, and Lord Nityananda, they were wonderfully enjoying this Chida Dahi festival. And Raghunath Das Goswami, along with assistant, he was unlimitedly serving everyone and anyone who has come to the festival. So in this way, after the festival was over, Raghav Pandit gave the remnants of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya to Raghunath Das Goswami. Please take this Mahaprasad. So Raghunath Das Goswami was more than happy to get Mahaprasad like that. So in the evening, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they also were present in the house of Raghav Pandit. Lord Nityananda went to the house of Raghav Pandit. Lord Nityananda was dancing so wonderfully that Lord Chaitanya also came there and he joined. So again in the evening they took supper, and again Raghunath Das Goswami got some wonderful Mahaprasad of Gauranga and Nityananda. So next day morning, again Lord Nityananda came to the same place where the previous day they had the Chidadagi festival. And Raghunath Das Goswami pleaded to Lord Nityananda, "My dear Lord," he didn't actually plead directly, he told Raghav Pandit. So on his behalf, Raghav Pandit said, "Raghunath wants to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. He is trying for quite a long time. He is not successful. He wants your blessing so that he can take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya." So Lord Nityananda said, "He is having the wealth of Indra and he has got so much opulence, still he is not attached. And now he has fed me and all the Vaishnavas, he has served all the Vaishnavas. Now, please, all the Vaishnavas can bless him. Let all the Vaishnavas bless him. So that now he will be qualified to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya." So Lord Nityananda also placed his lotus feet on his head and blessed him. "Now you take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya." So in this way, after being blessed by Lord Nityananda and all the Vaishnavas, later, long story, we will not go into details how he took shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, he was able to overcome all the obstacles and he could very effectively cut the knots of his heart and then take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, because without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. If one thinks that he can directly go to Lord Chaitanya, ignoring Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya will not accept that person. Whereas Lord Nityananda gives a recommendation letter, then Lord Chaitanya, without any reservation, will accept. Exactly like if you want to take initiation, directly if you go to Guru, Guru will say, "Go and take the initiation letter from the temple authority." Without the letter, you cannot get. So, this wonderful pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami is to teach an aspiring devotee how, without the mercy of the immediate devotee, immediate authority, immediate Vaishnava, it's not that one can jump across and get the mercy of the higher authority. Without the mercy of Nityananda, Gauranga is not available. Without the mercy of Gauranithai, Radha and Krishna is not available. If somebody thinks that he will directly get the mercy of Krishna, it's not going to happen. So Nityananda being the Adi Guru, without the mercy of Guru, one cannot get the mercy of Nityananda also. So in this way, even to get the mercy, there is a process. You can't just get mercy as you desire. Doesn't happen like that. So in this way, when one serves the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, without getting the mercy of Prabhupada, you can't get the mercy of Gauranithai. Prabhupada is a representative, Acharya, who has given the process of Krishna consciousness to us. So without his mercy, it is not possible to get the mercy of Gauranithai. So in this way, if we be engaged in Krishna consciousness under the direction and guidance of our spiritual authorities, slowly, slowly, one can get the mercy of Gauranithai and Radha and Krishna and achieve the perfection of going back home, back to God. We'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?
Uh, At the end of this purport, Prabhupada says that Lord personally present where his devotee is singing his glory.
Lord
personally present where his devotee is singing his glory. But my prime nature is to do Prabhupada Jalpa in varieties of ways.
So, why? Can you speak into the mic?
My nature is to do Prajalpa in varieties of way.
Your nature is to do Prajalpa?
Yes.
And so, variety in that?
Variety means blaspheming.
Varieties of Prajalpa.
Blaspheming.
Ek ek karke thak jate, dusra lagta hai.
So what can I do to sing so that I can get
what
natural?
What can you do?
Naturally I can sing the glories of Lord.
Prajalpa is a disease. Disease of the mind, because we don't have higher taste, we try to get taste from the lower modes of nature. In this prajalpa, naturally you will criticize somebody. Wo aisa nahi kiya hai, wo aisa kiya hai, usko karne ke liye nahi aata hai. It's basically finding fault and trying to find good in us. Main jo kar raha hu wo sab theek rehta hai. What I do, how can this be wrong? After all, I am doing, you know, actually. So it is something like this. Trying to not finding fault within us and trying to find fault with others and try to glorify ourselves to others saying that main ye kiya malum hai, oh aisa kiya tha, aisa itna main acha lecture diya, sab log, you know, they are so surprised. I am so good actually. Glorify. And other way, something happens, little bit wrong also, either or other. Dekho, kuch aata nahi usko. The problem is, we try to keep ourselves in the center and try to make sure that we are all right. And try to minimize others. These are all various ingredients of prajalpa. So, by doing prajalpa, one actually can contaminate his consciousness more. Already it is contaminated. Cheto darpana marjanam we have to do. No, why we have to cleanse the heart? Because it is contaminated. The consciousness is so contaminated, we are not able to see the all pervasive nature of the Supreme Lord. Like Hiranyakashipu, he couldn't see the all pervasive nature of Nrisimhadeva. You can only see the matter, and by doing this prajalpa, you are only increasing the contamination. What to do? What to do is to put Krishna in the center. Take yourself out from center. Put Krishna in the center. So if you put Krishna in the center, and you are his servant, then you cannot glorify in front of you, in front of Krishna, can you tell anything? Krishna theek nahi kiya, main theek karta hu, koi bolne ke liye taakat hai kya? He can tell another devotee didn't do properly, you know. Can you say that, you know, oh, in the battlefield of Krishna, no, he didn't do things properly. If I was there, I could have done it a little better than that. Bol sakta hai? Nobody will dare to do that, right? So, as long as you put Krishna in the center, you will not try to find yourself better than Krishna. Put Krishna in the center. Then put the devotees of Krishna closer to the center. Closer to the center. As close as Krishna is in the center. Still you will not be dare to criticize that devotee. Can you say that, Prabhupada, you know, he went to New York City. If I was there, I could have gone to first San Francisco, then New York City. Koi bolne wala hai idhar? So put the pure devotees of the Lord closer to the center where Krishna is there. So when you keep that in the center and you try to be away from the center as far as possible, don't go too close. So when you do that, then there is some scope that you will not be able to find fault. There is some scope that, you know, you will try to find fault within you. The whole process is, why am I suffering in the material world? Why should I do this? Why can't I improve further? If one keeps asking such kind of questions, then he will not be having time to find fault with another person. He will not have time to do prajalpa. So, keeping Krishna in the center, engaging activities which are Krishna conscious, reading Bhagavatam, discussing about Bhagavatam,
not discussing about the politics in the temple. You can do that actually. You have every free will to do it. But you have to know that the result is going to be drastically affecting your Krishna consciousness. Who is going to come and stop you? Even Krishna will not come and stop you if you want to do politics. Even I think it's Janu, kya karay? Sudhrega nahi? Kitna baar aisa kiya, sudhra nahi abhi tak. Sudharne ke liye koshish karna chahiye. So, as long as we try to analyze ourselves and we try to find good in others, bad in us, great scope for advancement. So if we can do that, slowly, slowly, Krishna will give the intelligence. Devotees will give the blessing. Unless the Vaishnava's blessings are there, what is the advancement one can make? The whole pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami say that he tried on his own, he couldn't succeed. But when Lord Nityananda and all the Vaishnavas, all the associates of Lord Nityananda blessed him, immediately nothing could stop him actually. And he was one of the, you know, Goswamis who exhibited extraordinary tapasya. If you read Raghunath Das Goswami's life, you can see that. He was completely blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Completely blessed by Radha Rani, so that he could take shelter the banks of Radha Kund. So it is possible only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord. To do that, one has to actually try not finding fault with others. If you find fault within you, then you will find others are doing well. The whole problem is, in that aspect where you are not doing well, you will see others are doing well. What you are seeing is what others are not doing well in which you are doing well. The whole process is opposite, it is supposed to be. So when we can do that, certainly we can transform our prajalpa mentality to the mentality of Harikatha. Harikatha is completely opposite to Gramya Katha. Prajalpa is Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha kya hota hai gaon mein? कोई टी चाय का दुकान उधर जाके बैठ के क्या होता है नरेंद्र मोदी ही शुड डू लाइक दैट सोनिया गांधी शुड डू लाइक दैट बराक ओबामा शुड हैव डन लिटिल बेटर देन दिस कोई वैल्यू है बात तो करता है नरेंद्र मोदी नॉट गोइंग टू डू व्हाट यू आर टॉकिंग इन द योर यू नो ग्राम में कथा डजंट इवन मैटर टू हिम द ग्राम में कथा मूड हैज टू चेंज टू हरिकथा मूड इफ यू आर इन हरिकथा देन दैट कैन प्यूरिफाई द कॉन्शियसनेस Gramya Katha can contaminate your consciousness. So you have to know what helps you to purify your consciousness. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So unless the consciousness is purified, what is the value of our executing devotional service? We are spending some time here, right? Quite some time. If we have not got any benefit out of it, it's just we are just wasting time, you know. We should try to optimize our, you know, result by means of being sincere and serious in executing the process of devotional service.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My question related to karma theory.
Related to?
Karma theory, karma.
Karma?
Karma. Act. Then question, I will read. I will tell
karma.
Any of the karma.
Karma theory.
Okay. Yeah, karma theory, yes. I say it is karma theory. You see, God always says, everything is being done by me. I am doing everything. Even we also say that God is doing everything. When some mishap happens to someone, at that time we blame to God. It is so happened. Because God is creating everything. At that time God says, I have not done anything. It is your fault. It is your karma. Why this contradiction?
First of all, Lord is not doing everything. He is not doing everything. He is giving facilities for everything to happen. He is making sure that everything happens the way you want. Because he has given this facility, we as individual soul, he has given the free will also to us. Free will. So we are using the free will to decide what should be done. பிரகிருதே கிரியமானானி குணை கர்மாணி சர்வத அகங்கார விமூடாத்மா கர்த்தாகம் இது மன்யதே. The Prakriti is giving all the facility. See, there is some object for your attraction. So as soon as the object is there, you decide to enjoy that object. Not Krishna told you to enjoy. He kept the object. He didn't tell you to enjoy. You decided, hey, ye to achna hai, itna achha hai, so let me enjoy this. Because you are making the decision to enjoy, you are responsible for that action. Krishna is not responsible. But without Krishna's sanction, you cannot do any action. Even a blade of grass cannot move. Because he is pervading everything. And he is controlling everything. As a supreme controller, he is making sure that when you desire that I should lift my hand, he is allowing it to be lifted, you know. You desire that I should pick up this glass, he is allowing you to pick up the glass. So in that way, he is a supreme controller who is a facilitator. I decided to pick up this glass, and I am drinking the water, so I am responsible for what is happening here. So if there is a bacteria here, I am eating the bacteria, then I have to get karma for that. Why Krishna will get karma for that? So Krishna, he is only facilitator. He provided all the material elements, he provided the entire world, so many attractive features. And he is trying to find out whether you are going to get attracted to material world or going to be attracted to Krishna. That choice is ours. Because we are choosing, because every one of us, we are making decision in every activity. Krishna is not making decision. He is only the witness. Because of which, we are responsible. Whether good or bad also. Not only for bad things. We try to blame Krishna when bad things happen. See, I am serving Krishna. How can this happen to me? When anything good happens, he doesn't go and tell Krishna, Krishna, I am serving you, that's why it happened. No, I did, I am so wonderful person, because of me, you know, all these things are happening. We always try to blame when things go wrong. When everything is going right, nobody wants to acknowledge anything. So, it is not correct to blame Krishna for anything. Because he is not making decision, he is not pushing you, he is not pushing your hand. But because of his all pervasive nature, he is allowing you to lift. But if he withdraws the power of lifting the hand, you cannot lift the hand. Suppose Krishna says, I am withdrawing the one kind of air from your body. 5 airs have to be in equilibrium, you know. Ek nikal gaya, puncture ho gaya, nikal gaya. I want to lift it, I am not able to lift, you know. Or you get Parkinson's disease. You don't want to shake and it is shaking. You go out of the control. So Krishna is withdrawing the power. He is the power in every one of us also anyway. Balam balavatam chaham. It's a power also. So it's a very, very tricky thing here. On one hand, yes, Krishna is the supreme controller. But he is not controlling us. He is not controlling all our activity. Because we are deciding, we are controlling our subordinate thing, and we are making decision. Karma, according to karma, there is nothing wrong with karma theory. Whoever makes the decision, whoever acts, they have to get karma. So we have to get karma. Krishna doesn't get karma. Last question. Nimai Nitai Prabhu. Huh? Question. That says Aya. This has come from the different domain. Yes, let me read this question. Let us see. In the Sanatan Goswami lame man incident, it is the lame man who misunderstood Sanatan Goswami. In one, it is the lame man who committed the offense. Why Sanatan Goswami getting the reaction? How it is justified? It is not Sanatan Goswami, it is Rupa Goswami, by the way. So, then, physically challenged devotee was going around. Rupa Goswami was in meditation, enjoying being part of the Leela of Radha and Krishna. So in the Radha and Krishna Leela, there is some funny thing happened. When some funny thing happens, you laugh, smile, laugh, whatever. So he was in that state and he was smiling, thinking about Radha and Krishna pastime. the physically challenged devotee thought he is thinking that he is lame, because of which he is making fun of me. The fun is happening somewhere else. He thought this is the fun he is, because of which Rupa Goswami's meditation broke and he could not be fully situated in that consciousness. So the question is, the mistake is not Rupa Goswami, the mistake is the devotee who misunderstood what was happening there. He didn't know clearly what was happening, why it is the case. This is to emphasize how important to take care of ourselves from committing offenses, even unknowingly. What to speak of knowingly? Even unknowingly an offense committed, even if your action is not intended to offend, but still it is offending a person, there will be a reaction. Can you imagine this? To highlight, to emphasize the seriousness of offense. Seriousness. Even unintentionally you are done. How it can be very, very serious effect on your own Krishna consciousness, to highlight that. Surely enough, there was nothing intentionally Rupa Goswami has done an offense, but still it affected. The same way, it is to teach us, not only intentionally we should not offend, even we should even think that unintentionally can it offend somebody or not. And we should try to avoid that also. You may think, I am doing right thing, but still, whether it can affect somebody, whether it can offend somebody unintentionally, if one can analyze it and try to avoid that. Okay, I may not intend to offend this person, but it may offend, so I should not do in this way, I should do a little different. This is to emphasize that. Very important. So if one can be that careful, then very soon we will achieve the perfection in life. It's very close. He's in the very close to the finishing line. When you are very close to finishing line, you will think like that. When you are too far away, you will think other way around, like Prajalpa category. So it all depends upon where you are. Yes, last question. Nimai Nithai Prabhu. Okay. So you are waving your right to ask question to others. Okay. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Prabhu.
Speak into the mic. This
Prabhu.
Is last question. Nimai Nithai Prabhu question will be in our question and answer session.
Prabhu, Bhrigu Muni, disrespected Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So did he suffer due to that?
Did he suffer?
Because of offending the Lord and his devotees.
Because of?
Offending the Lord
offenses.
And his devotees.
Not only he, entire the descendants of him, all the Brahmanas are suffering actually. It is said that the chest is the seat of Lakshmiji. Lakshmi is seated in the chest of Vishnu. Chest is a place. So because he kicked on the chest, it is like a kicking on Mahalakshmi, no?
Okay.
Vishnu did not take offense actually. He didn't take offense and he was in the pure goodness. And Mahalakshmi also did not take, she did not react to this offense, but she felt very bad. How dare you are coming and kicking on my place of residence? Then, because of which, he was a Brahmana. So, all the Brahmanas became poor. There was no richness with them. Mahalakshmi doesn't stay in their houses. Kabhi bhi Brahmana ka paas jao, to hamesha, paisa nahi hai karke bolega. Paisa aayega, jayega. Panda bhi ban jao, bahut paisa aayega, chala jayega. So, Lakshmi ji doesn't stay in the house of Brahmanas because of this Bhrigu Muni kicking the place of Mahalakshmi's residence, that is the chest of Vishnu, because of which all the Brahmanas became poor. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nittai Gaura Premanande.